Good morning. All right, our children may be dismissed to Children's Church. Before I pray, I want to give out reminders one last time. Where are you going to be today at 2:30? Right here, watching Alex and Caroline get married. That's right. And tomorrow at 6 p.m., where are you going to be? Right here, eating spaghetti. That's right. Okay, good. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are truly worthy of all the glory. You are worthy that everything we eat and everything we drink and everything we do, all of it should be done to your glory. You are the most wonderful, amazing thing in all of this universe. Forgive us, God, for taking our minds off you and your glory and your kingdom and placing them on our own self-interests. Help us to realign our minds and our heart with your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to start with some unfortunate housekeeping. We have talked here many times about how the very thing that is most important to our future and our growth is love and unity between us. Love and unity in this body is the thing that will allow, that turn us into the fertile ground where God can use us and grow us and reach out to Carmel and to the rest of the world. Unity and love. In fact, Jesus prayed that the relationship that we have with each other would be just like the relationship that he has with the Father. That our love, that our friendship is just like the relationship between Jesus and the Father. And that is why it breaks my heart that I've heard someone out there in our community was sitting at a restaurant in Noblesville and said, Carmel Friends Church will become the church we want it to be if only so-and-so would die. Now, not only should that not be said out in public, that shouldn't even be thought in our hearts. And my hope, my prayer, is that this is someone who left our church a long time ago and who has not been a part of all of the growth and all of the amazing things that God has been doing with us over the last year and a half. I know that there's been a lot of people who have left in the past and who are still bitter and who still harbor strong feelings. And I hope that that was just one of them shooting their mouth off and that that wasn't somebody here, because it doesn't belong here. And you would never hear in the relationship between Jesus and the Father, you would never hear something like that. One of them accusing the other of standing in the way. God has a beautiful, wonderful plan for this church. Amen. It is glorious and it is wonderful, and it involves unity and love among each other. And the devil has a plan for our church, and he wants to rob us and kill us and destroy us. And so if you think that whatever plan you have in your heart is from God, but it involves getting rid of someone else in the church, making them uncomfortable so that they leave, or hoping and wishing that they die, you don't have God's plan in mind. You have the devil's plan in mind, and you need to repent. It does not belong. If you look at someone else in this room and you don't feel the love towards them that Jesus feels towards the Father, then you need to get with them and repair that and pray through that and reestablish that love and that relationship, because that's Jesus' prayer for you, that when you look around this room, you have the same love that he has towards his Father. So, like I said, I really hope that that was just some bad apples from the past, people who aren't here anymore. I really hope that that wasn't any of us. But I know that in places that I've worked before and stuff, I know that feeling. I've thought that before. I've had such vision and determination for where we're going and what we're doing, and I saw people as obstacles to that, and I just wish they would be gone and or dead or whatever, and God's had to deal with me with that. And maybe he's still dealing some with you with that. That's fine, but you need to pray through it. You really need to pray through it and repent if that's still in your heart. Because if you think someone in this church is the roadblock to God's plan and they need to get out of the way, that in your heart is the bigger roadblock. That's the real irony. That attitude is what really, truly going to stop this church from growing and becoming what God wants it to be. So let's push forward to love, to looking at these people as family, as brothers and sisters, and finding the common ground, the love that we share with one another in unity through Jesus. No matter what other differences we have the love of Jesus in common, and you can go to any person here and you can say, I don't know, I don't understand you. You know, I don't have your background, I don't have your interests, but we have one thing, the most important thing in common, and that is that we both love Jesus. So let's pursue that. That wasn't my sermon. Okay, so a couple weeks ago, I was working on the sermon for the wedding that I'm doing later today. And in the process of that, I was having one of those days where I was just taking down lots of notes and had lots of really good sermon ideas, and I was really happy because, you know, with all the stuff that's coming up with the wedding and camp, and I've got a vacation in a couple weeks, and I was a little frantic that, you know, I wouldn't have the sermon, and God was just giving me all kinds of good stuff. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And the sermon that I came up with for today was, we talk about how God deserves the glory. To God be the glory. He deserves all of the glory, all of our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Philippians 4:20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we know and we hear those words, God deserves the glory. We should give him all the glory in everything we do. But sometimes we kind of don't understand what that practically looks like. And so I started thinking about the things that we do glorify in our lives. I started thinking about actors and sports figures and, you know, other heroes and how we glorify them. And I said, oh, that would be cool if we kind of extrapolated from those examples how we glorify them and apply that to God. And I wrote down like 5 different ways we can do that. Well, this week, during my devotions, I started taking more notes again on stuff, and I just wrote and wrote and wrote, and I got to the end, and I'm like, wow, all these notes I took just apply to the very first point. So we're only going to talk about point one this week, and I don't know if that means we're going to have 5 weeks of glorify God, or if I'll just do points 2 through 5 next week, whatever. I just know this week I've got one point to talk about. I have been, you know, my time here, I'm an interim pastor, for those of you who are visitors. I'm just serving here until our full-time pastor arrives. He's coming from Australia. We spent a big chunk of time waiting for our government to give him a visa, and right when that got cleared up, his wife got breast cancer, and so we've been waiting for her to finish her treatment. And what we thought was going to be maybe like a 2-month wait has turned into a 22-month wait. But praise God, you know, he has been faithful to them and faithful to us, and we are, I think, having a great time. So, but I'm just the interim pastor, which means when he arrives in October, I'm out of here. Not, you know, not like, I'm out of here, but we can only afford to have one pastor here. So I've been kind of thinking, what's going to happen? You know, those thoughts, my friends and family are a lot more concerned about that than I am. What are you going to do in October? I'm like, we'll see. God'll have something. But I do think about it, and I've had some people come to me and say, Matthew, you're so good at teaching, you ought to, go to seminary and become recorded as a minister. That recorded, if you're not familiar with the Friends Church, that's kind of like when someone says ordained, that we record our ministers. And so, I've been thinking about that, and I was like, I didn't really think about that at first because you haven't been to seminary, but I guess, and okay, and I really do enjoy teaching. I'm a lot shakier on some of the other pastor stuff that has to be done, like programs and visitations and that stuff, and but counseling. Sorry. If you need counseling, I'll do my best, but I've had no training. I'll probably just end up saying, here's what the Bible says. And that's good advice. So I thought, and some people think, I should go pursue the pastor thing. Some of the rest of you, I was thinking about the pastor stuff, I told you about this idea I had for a donut business, and I've been advised not to give away too many details, I had this really fun, great idea for a donut business. And I would go to people and I would tell them, and they'd be like, that's a good idea. Well, I went to Kyle May, and he's like, okay, we need to do financial projections and put together a business plan. And I'm like, oh, wow, no one's ever done that before. Everyone just kind of said, wish me luck, and sent me on my way. So suddenly that became just sort of, went from being just kind of a dream to being something that actually could happen. And so I was kind of struggling with like thoughts of like, the donut thing, that's a thing, that's a dream of mine, and I'm really passionate about that. But it doesn't really seem like holy, and being a pastor, that's gotta be, good joke, yeah. Totally missed it. Thank you for pointing it out. So donuts are holy in a different way. You guys. But anyway, of spiritual significance. Yeah, there's no pun there. Okay. But, but being a pastor, that's a truly divine, majestic calling. And so I've been kind of, going back and forth between these two ideas. And I really didn't know what to do. And I was reading my devotions, and my devotions didn't really help because I would read one devotion, and it would talk about, just completely forsaking the outward life, and just everything should be spiritual and inward, and then I have this other devotion, and it would be like, you bring God into your job, bring God into the workplace. And I was like, so I was like, God, where's the balance? Where's the balance between like ministry and just life and living? And so God began to open up to me, he kind of showed me. He's like, in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned and they were kicked out of the garden, the very first thing God says is, now you're going to have to work the land. Work is not unholy. God ordained work. He said, you guys are going to have to work. And even when we look at the lives of the apostles, we see them having to make tents and do other things to work, in addition to whatever their ministry was. So God was saying they don't have to be mutually exclusive. Work is okay. And he's like, best of all, it gives you an opportunity to bring me out into the world, into a place. He said, but don't forget, So many people get so caught up in their work and in their hobbies and all that stuff that they begin to neglect the ministry and they begin to neglect me. And then I had an idea for a parable. And I said, oh, that's cool. And I imagined that there was this man. And he was very rich and very powerful. And but more than his money and more than his power, he loved his wife. He loved her above everything, and he would have given it all up for her. And so in order to demonstrate his love to her, he found out her favorite restaurant. And he went to the manager, and he said, I want to rent out the whole restaurant. And the manager says, we make $50,000 a night. And he's like, here's $100,000. I want the whole place to myself. And the manager said, okay. And the man said, empty out all the tables except just one table for two right here. And then he said, over here, I'm going to put a dance floor and a DJ because my wife loves dancing, and I'm going to invite some of her friends. And then over here, she loves manicures and pedicures. I'm going to have a little manicure-pedicure station right there. And over here, we're going to have like a little photo booth where you can put on funny hats and take pictures. It's like all the little things she loved to do. So he got everything ready. And then he invited her. And she arrived, and she saw all the stuff, and she looked over, and she saw her friends, and she ran over to her friends and began dancing with them. But she ignored her husband. And then after they got done dancing, they said, look, let's all get pedicures. And they ran over, and they all got pedicures. And as they were sitting there, the woman's friends started bad-mouthing the husband like he wasn't even there. And the woman, she didn't want to make her friends uncomfortable, but it was awkward, but she kind of laughed along. And then they went over and spent some time in the photo booth, and then they realized how hungry they were. And so they all came over, and they all just started devouring the food, and the husband was just standing there looking on. And this is, unfortunately, how some of us treat life. Our life could be one big date night with God. Life was created to be lived with him. Life was, the good parts were there so that we could give him glory and we could enjoy those things together with him. And even when bad times are allowed in, they're allowed in as an opportunity to turn to him for comfort. All of life was created by him and ultimately so that we can enjoy it with him. But sadly, we get so caught up sometimes in the little affairs of life, in our job and in our hobbies and our pleasures, that we ignore him and we ignore the one that we're all supposed to be experiencing those things with. The first point of my glorify God thing is don't neglect your life with God. Don't neglect time with God. If you have a favorite actor, you go and you see all of their movies. And if it turns out that they're in town at a bookstore or something, and you know that you have an opportunity to meet them and shake their hand, oh man, you're there. You would never pass up an opportunity to be with one of our earthly heroes. And we pay extra money for backstage passes and anything we can to get as close to and spend as much time as possible with our heroes, with our idols. We tweet them in the hopes that they'll notice and tweet us back. You may not. I don't do that. But the people who we love and the people who we idolize, we do anything we can to just cross their path, to be noticed by them. How much more so should we be doing that with God? Putting ourselves in his path, spending time with him. And the best part is unlike all of those snobby movie stars out there, God actually wants to spend time with us. He actually thinks we're amazing and wonderful and loves us. and wants to be there with us and spend time with us. So, don't neglect your time with God. Whenever you are in the middle of something good or something you enjoy, let that be an opportunity to say, thank you, God, for this. Let that be something that draws your heart to Him, that reminds you of His love and that every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And if there's things in your life that you find yourself obsessing over, some little hobby that is so important to you that it takes you away from prayer time and quiet time and devotions and that kind of thing, if something has become so powerful in your heart, just get it out of your life. If something can't be used to bring God glory and to bring you closer in the relationship with Him, just get rid of it. Anything that's on the throne of your heart should be cleared off to make way for God. And anything that's left in front of Him, He can share with you, but let Him be the only thing on the throne of your heart, of your life. We're going to have our time of open worship now. And as we sit here in the silence, just examine the throne of your heart. What is there anything that you can't pull your attention away from? Is there anything in your life that you can't say, thank you, God, for this? Thank you that you have given me this good thing that allows me to recognize your goodness, your provision. And I realize that, there's bad things in my life. We're not talking about the bad things. I'm just talking about the things that enchant us. The things that obsess us, or that we are obsessed with. Look at those things, and can you share those with God? Can you give thanks to God and not let those take the place of God in your life? So just in this time, examine your heart. And if there's anything you need to get rid of, just say, God, I put that aside for you. And if there's any, maybe there's just something you need to redeem, and just say, God, thank you for this good thing that you've given me, this thing that I can enjoy. Please help me not to love it more than I love you. John 15, 4 through 8 says, abide in me, this is Jesus speaking, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into a fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Abide in Jesus, and allow Jesus to abide in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are worthy of all the glory. And we ask forgiveness right now as we repent from all of the things that have stolen our attention and our love and our devotion away from you. And God, anything that we can redeem, we praise you and thank you for that good thing that draws our heart back to you. And anything, God, that we cannot redeem, we joyfully get rid of it from our lives. Because we now see it for what it truly is, just a stumbling block that keeps us from getting to you, something that just stands in the way between us and you. And so we joyfully get rid of those things. Help us to be wise in identifying what things in our life separate us from you and what things draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.